This morning's scripture deals with a passage. God says here, verse number 15, Hebrews chapter 12, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. And the example that God gives us here is Esau. Esau sold his birthright. He was supposed to be in the lineage of the Messiah. He was supposed to be used of God to bring the Messiah into the world, the Lord Jesus, to die for our sins so God could have a lineage there to come down to earth through. But instead, he sold that whole lineage for a bowl of chili, if you will, or a meat soup. Why would you do something like that? Why would you give your Christian heritage away, all your Christian inheritance, and things that you could look forward to? And God plainly says, Esau was bitter. Esau was bitter. And so this morning I wanted to just give us a few thoughts here on how to keep from becoming bitter, how to not become bitter. I want to start by saying this. You're going to have to listen a little closely this morning, but Dr. Hiles said in one of his sermons, actually, he said it several times. He said, the biggest problem that I see with Christians is humanism. He said, I put something in every sermon that fights humanism. What is humanism? It's when I try to make myself God. It's when I call the shots. He said, selfishness and humanism is the biggest problem. He said, and it's the thing that keeps us from doing what God wants us to do. I took note of that when Dr. Hiles said that, and of course he's in heaven now, but we are so prone to become our own deity, and he put something in every sermon to fight that. I'm going to make some statements, so can you listen to me just real quickly here. The more sincere you are, the more easier it is to become bitter. Why do people who try to do the most for God and try to serve God the most get bitter? I'll make five statements, and then we'll come back to them. Ready? Number one, I do not live by my own standards. Number two, I try not to do what I think is best. Number three, I often go against my better judgment. Number four, I often disagree with God. Number five, we may disagree, God and I, more than we agree. That doesn't sound, if you'll remember those statements, I'll come back to it in just a second. How do I keep from becoming bitter as a Christian about what I think is unfair? If you aren't careful, you're going to get a measure of this is fair and this is unfair. Did you know that? Listen closely this morning. God does not have to meet your system of justice. And if you aren't careful, you'll say, if God is fair, He'll do this, this, and this. And God says, I don't have to meet your standards. I don't live by your standards. Do you understand? All of us, and watch this, what all of us think is fair and unfair is different with each person. You right? Because we all have our own, well, life is good when this happens, and this happens. And then how many times have we heard people say, that's unfair? And we're the fastest to say that. We're the fastest to say, that's not fair. Maybe we don't understand everything. How do I keep from becoming bitter about things I don't understand? How do I keep from becoming bitter when I disagree with God? God and I, first of all, have to settle our differences. Take your Bible and go to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, a very helpful scripture this morning. Isaiah chapter 55. And look at verse 8. And if this isn't marked in your Bible, it needs to be. You need to think about it. And this is worthy of your memorization. But you put this in your heart. But watch this, Isaiah chapter 55, and look at verse number 8. The Lord is teaching us here, and He's going to say, Isaiah 55, verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens, Isaiah 55 verse 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. One of the things that will kill a Christian is when you think God thinks like you do. Well, I see it this way. How come God doesn't see it this way? Because God says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. God says, because I'm high, He's high and lifted up. He sees things what? He has a vantage point and He can see a lot more than we can. He can see farther. Amen? Much farther than we can. God says, I don't think like you think. And if you aren't careful, you're going to say, I don't understand why this is happening. I wouldn't do it this way. And God says, I know you wouldn't. But you're not the one that's in control. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And my ways, that happens. This verse can help you with every misunderstanding in life. I wouldn't have done it that way. I wouldn't have either. But there must be something God knows that you don't know. You have to give God the benefit of the doubt when you don't understand, or you're going to get bitter. Why did this happen? Why did the car wreck happen? I don't know why it happened. I don't either. But His ways are higher than your ways. And His thoughts are higher than your thoughts. There must be something then that God understood and knows that you and I don't. He gets the benefit of the doubt, or you get angry. Why did so-and-so have to pass? Why did this happen? Why did this tragedy take place? Why are they in the hospital? I don't know. How come Brother Dorsey can't be with us this morning? I know he wants to be here. He's frustrated. It is frustrated when you're limited, right? You want to be there. God's ways are higher than our ways. So what do? Instead of getting angry, we submit. We submit. This verse is very helpful. First of all, I'll have you turn to another scripture here in just a second. A decision comes in my life. It's time for me to make a decision. Okay? It may be concerning somebody else, but it's time for me to make a decision. Next, I try to figure the right thing to do. I want to do right. I want to do what God says. I do disagree sometimes with God, but not because I don't want to do right. I just see things differently than God sees them. And watch, everybody's going to disagree with God. Okay? You study hell. Hell's not my idea. It's God's idea. You say you disagree with hell? I may disagree with hell, but I believe in hell. God says our minds cannot fathom its torture. I hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him, and the same is true for those that reject the Lord Jesus as their Savior. You cannot imagine the sufferings of hell. God says that is the torture chamber created for Satan. And if you reject my Son, that is where you spend eternity. I cannot fathom that. There's parts of me I may not understand. And watch this. I can disagree with God on it. I wouldn't create a place like that, but God did, and I believe it. You understand? It's okay to disagree with God as long as God gets the benefit of the doubt. All right? All of us are going to disagree sometimes. Number three, you try to figure out what God thinks is the right thing to do. The best thing to do is to get into the Word of God. This, the Bible, is the mind of Christ. I must get into the Word of God before I form my opinion. And probably one of the greatest tragedies is we don't know the Bible enough to answer our questions. So we come up with our own opinions and think, I just think it ought to happen this way. I've heard people talk, and I'll hear Christians, and I got to work many times at just shutting my mouth. But they'll say, well, I'm going to go ahead and do this. And I'm like, did you look in the Bible before you made that decision? You watch people make financial decisions. You watch people deal in relationships. You watch people deal in this and as far as concerning jobs and everything. That's like, did you know that's against the Bible? But I got to... If they ain't asking, they probably don't want to know. Please be careful. Try to figure out what God thinks. When it's time to make a decision, try to figure out what God is saying. What is God's mind on it? What does God tell me to do? Would you take your Bible and go to Psalm 23? Psalm 23. The most famous psalm in the Bible. The famous psalm in the Bible is Psalm 23. It's time for me to make a decision. I need to find out what God says. Look at this. Psalm 23, verse 1 through 4. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, we all like this verse, but to apply this scripture to your life is hard work. I'll show you what I mean. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Can we just look at this psalm just a second? I took a little sidetrack here, and we're going to come right back. If I'm looking for the mind of God, He has to be my shepherd. If He is your shepherd, then that means He's leading you. He leadeth me twice is in there. That means you're not in front of God. That means you're behind. He leadeth me. You say, well, how'd you come up with that? I know a lot of Christians that tell God what to do. They're out front. They're not following. I want to do this. I want to go here. I think this ought to happen. And they're not behind the shepherd. And He's not their shepherd. He's their Savior. Amen. But He's not their shepherd. He's the shepherd if He's in front of you. If He's calling the shots. He leadeth me. And to apply that and to slow down and to stop before you make a decision saying, I want to follow the shepherd because He's my shepherd. I want to follow Him. That takes work. That takes work in the Christian life. If He is your shepherd this morning, that means you're letting Him lead. He always leads through His Word. That means you trust Him. That means there's no stress. He leads me beside the still waters. You can always tell when God's in control. God doesn't give ulcers. Well, I'm just a nervous wreck. Is God leading in your life? Well, you got to understand the stress I'm under. You got to understand. He's your shepherd. Is He leading you? Well, you don't understand the pressure that I'm under. Are you doing some things that God doesn't want you to do? Do you understand? I'm not telling you what not to do and do. But if you're wrapped up in things that are, I feel like I'm going to have a nervous breakdown, then He's not your shepherd. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Well, you just don't know what I'm facing. My family is putting all types of pressure. Then why is your family putting pressure on you? Then maybe you need to tell your family no. I watch some family abuse other older people. Well, grandma's here. She can babysit. And then I've watched other families dump on the older people in the thing, and they stress grandma out. I didn't say every grandmother's stressed out. I've just watched families abuse. I'm not talking about it. I have seen it abused though. And then I've watched the grandparents. Well, I just can't make it to church because I've got to. Maybe you're supposed to tell your kids no. Is He your shepherd? If He's your shepherd, He's leading you. You trust Him and it's quiet. There's no stress. Do you understand? If He's your shepherd. Just a few more things. I know I've pointed out the opposite. Also, can I tell you what I gained from this? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. If He's your shepherd, He takes care of your fears. You're not scared. You can trust Him. If He's your shepherd, you experience the restoring of your soul. If He's your shepherd, you're satisfied. I shall not want. You're satisfied. Satisfied is not based on what you have. It's based on who you are. Satisfaction, in other words, one day I got to get this, and one day I got to get this. Is He your shepherd? I shall not want. If He feels I can handle it, God, please give it to me. If not, if you think it would destroy me, then Lord, keep it away. I shall not want. If He's your shepherd, He's leading. I wrote down, if He's not your shepherd, then you're leading. You don't trust. There's stress in your life. There's no restoration of your soul. You're fearful and you're not satisfied. Instead, you're covetous. There's a better life, amen, if you're saved. You could let Him be your shepherd. But I know this, that's a choice. And it takes work, amen? And I'd like to encourage you this morning. Try to figure out what God thinks is the right thing to do before I form my opinion. I want Him to be my shepherd. As I read the Bible, I'm looking for a principle. I'm looking for a truth. I'm looking for an illustration. I'm looking for a story to show me what to do or what not to do. My job is not to do what seems right or what I think is right. My job is to do what God says is right. God and I have often, and still do, disagree. That's okay. You don't have to agree with God to be a good Christian, but you do have to obey. Right? Even though you disagree. I know that word is written. It is sounding like a strange concept, but I think if we're being truthful with each other, it's okay to disagree with God. It is as long as you obey. Next statement. Then I go against my better judgment when I find in the Word of God, even though I disagree, I go against my better judgment and I do what He thinks is best. And I do what He thinks is best. Now I'm going to go back to my five original statements that sounded weird. Now that I've explained these, ready? I do not live by my own standards. I try not to do what I think is best. I often go against my better judgment. I often disagree with God. And then He and I may disagree more than we agree. That's okay as long as I decide to obey. So how do the most sincere Christians who are trying to serve God do right, get bitter? How do they do that? Number one, they say, well, what do I think is right? You should not pray, Lord, lead me to do what is right. That still leaves the final decision in your hands. You're saying you are going to decide what you are going to do instead of letting God decide what you're going to do. Forget what you think is right and live your life doing only what God says is right to do. Do you understand? Lord, lead me to do what... Lord, help me to choose my best opinion. No, God, help me. Show me in Your Word what You want me to do and lead me in the paths of righteousness for Thy name's sake. God, show me what to do. What makes sense to you many times is based upon your limited ability to understand situations the way God does. So we end up thinking, what do I think is right? That's dangerous. I don't want to say I think this is right. I take verses from Judges 21. In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That's humanism in its purest form. This is mentioned three times in the book of Judges. Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Be careful, Christian. Quit doing what you think is right. Well, I logicked it out. I just said this, A plus B equals C, as far as, okay, this is going to... Quit logicking it out and follow the Word of God. Logic is different than faith. Sometimes faith doesn't make sense. It's never blind, but sometimes it doesn't make sense. Quit trying to think your way through it. Trust God. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Trust Him. Trust His Word. Isaiah 53, this is how we get into situation ethics and all of the other garbage that our society is wrapped up in. Because they're doing what I think is right. Is everybody watching the hate crime stuff? Absolutely amazing. And what makes it wrong is if you think it's wrong. That's humanism. No, what makes it wrong, what's always defined sin, is the Word of God. God's the one that says what's right and what's wrong. If it crosses God's line, it's sin. Well, no, I think homosexuality is right. You're wrong. You're wrong. It's sin. And it doesn't matter whether... Oh, I can't... It doesn't matter whether I like it. I don't. Or if I hate it, it doesn't matter. God says it's sinful. Well, I just think. That's a dangerous place for a Christian to be. I think this is right. What you should be praying is this. Lord, show me what is right in your word. So, how do we get bitter? First we say, well, I'll do what I think is right. Number two, then we do it. Then we do what we think is right. And this is exactly what Satan wants. A sincere Christian decides to do what he sincerely thinks is right. And that then, this is the beginning of his mistake. Why? Because all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. A Christian who wants to do right can turn to his own way just like a rebel. Just like a rebel. You always get into serious trouble when you reason what is right and what is wrong. I am not this morning trying to make you a mindless Christian. I am trying to help you not get bitter. You need to stay in the Word of God so that you can learn what God wants you to do. If I don't know the Bible well enough, then I get around people that do. That's Bible counsel. I don't know all the answers, and if I don't know the answer, I'll look it up, I'll study it, or I'll call somebody that I believe knows the Bible well enough. What does God say on this? What does God say on this? That's why I'm saying it should not be a shame for anybody to say, I don't know the Bible well enough. Well, good, then get around somebody that does. And you can call me about anything. I hope you feel that way. I hope I'm approachable. Pastor, what does this say? Slip me a note, or I'm looking for this. I get a lot of those questions. I love answering that. But what does the Bible say? What does God want us to do? I love that. The charismatics have their word of knowledge. We criticize them for their extra-biblical teaching. They go outside and do what they think is right, and then there's no difference with what we do. We do what we think is right. We like to say God's leading us to do something even though it's not what the Bible says is right. Saying that we are following the leadership of the Holy Spirit is dangerous when we ignore what the Bible says about a matter. God is leading me. Did you pray about that? How is God leading you? Well, I got this gut feeling. Your feelings will lie to you. Your feelings will destroy your life. Your feelings do this. Mine do too. If you're a woman, they do this. That was a joke. You know, but I'm just saying, all of us do this. So why do you trust this? Amen? All right. So I said, number one, we do what we think is right. We think this, what's right. Then we do it. Number three, then it doesn't turn out for the best. We then wonder why things are not turning well, going well, in spite of the fact that we sincerely are trying to do what we feel is right. And I understand the sincerity of it. God is leading me. Well, wait a second. The will of God is five things. Going to church. That's the will of God. I there's a lot of Bible behind what I'm getting ready to say. Going to church. Reading your Bible, amen, there's a lot of Bible behind that. Reading your Bible. You spending time with God, right? Praying. Tithing, that's the will of God. There's a lot of Bible behind that. And going soul winning, there's a lot of Bible behind that. Can I let Christian listen to me very closely? I'm not here as your pastor. I'm trying to help this morning. But let me make a very strong statement. If you are not doing those five things faithfully, those are the written Word of God, then how can God lead you in that which is not spoken? So the church attendance is hit and miss. Then the Bible time is hit and miss. The prayer time is hard to exist. They're not showing up for soul winning. and they don't tithe, but they feel God is leading me to... What? You're not doing the obvious will of God. How does God lead you in what is not written if you're not doing what is written? So this is hit and miss. These are the big things. These are the big things. Then how can God lead you in the areas that are not written? And that is what scares me as a pastor. Amen? I'm being real transparent this morning. So somebody isn't faithful to church. They're struggling in the will of God, but then they get this idea, well, God is leading me to... And you know what I do? I keep my mouth shut until I'm asked, and I say, amen, and I'll pray for you. And I do. But I hope you get that messed up thinking out of your head. That will mess you up as a Christian. Do you understand? That is not right. That is not good thinking. It ends up not working out for the best. Using the phrases, well, God is leading me. It becomes our excuse for doing what we think is best. God doesn't lead you to do something that is in direct violation of His Word. And we're not talking about drugs. We're not talking about immorality. We're not talking about drinking. We're talking about things that are not biblically backed. Things that will never turn out right when we do what we feel instead of what God says. Now I'll give one illustration because I don't think this applies to anybody in our church. Amen? All right, just listen closely. When a girl says, I'm dating this guy and he's lost. Well, I'll lead him to the Lord after we get married. Do you know how many times I've heard that? It doesn't work that way. You don't have power to change anybody except you. You understand? You give yourself to the Lord and He'll change you. But God doesn't give you power. Is this, and God plainly tells you, don't date, don't marry a lost person. But I got to keep my mouth shut as a pastor because God's leading them. So they're going to do what they feel God's leading them to do. And they're sincere. They're not wicked people. But I'm watching them go down this path that is going to lead to destruction. And I got to pray for you. And I'm sitting here going, I watched one girl, this big old hairy booger, would come up when we were selling coffee with the teenagers. I have other adjectives too. This guy would come up and he caught her eye and he would, yeah, he knew just how to get the girl obligated to him. So he'd buy her gift cards and stuff like this. Hey, got your coffee gift card, all that stuff. I'm watching it happen and I wanted to walk up and she's falling for him. He's one of those broomstick fellows, you know what I mean? Sweeps her right off her feet. And it was bad. It was bad. I couldn't stop it. I'm the youth pastor and I'm sitting here watching and I'm going, she never asks, but she's head over heels. And every time he comes on the property, Twitter paid and all that stuff is garbage. Guess what? They got married, they had a kid, and they got divorced. I wish she would have asked before. That guy's poison. He's a jerk. Girls, you ever want to know if the guy you're dating is good? Ask your daddy. Men know men. Men can tell weasels. You understand? Daddy, is he good? If he pauses at all, that's bad. You understand? If he pauses at all, Dad, is this a good guy? Then drop him like a bad habit. Guys, you want to find a good... guys that are single, amen? Want to know if she's a good girl? Ask your mom. Moms know witches. They can spot them a mile away. Mom, is she a good... Mom, what do you think about her? If your mom pauses, drop it. Drop it. Get her out of your life. Because your mom wants the best for you. Amen? That's a good paycheck for your mom. She wants to see you happily married. She doesn't want to see your heart broken a million pieces. The end ends up justifying the means. That's their humanistic motto. As long as it turns out right, or I can say to somebody what I did, then I can do whatever it takes to get the means done. That is humanistic thinking. A Christian cannot think that way. These people, the humanist says, I can do wrong because of how it'll turn out. I know it's wrong to lie, but it's going to have a good ending. It's always wrong to lie. That's the way a humanist thinks. I know it violates the Bible, but the way it's going to turn out is, it's always wrong to go against the Scripture. That's humanism. And it's the justification of, this will turn out fine. You should be more concerned about doing right and letting God be concerned about how things turn out. Esther said in chapter 4, if I perish, I perish. Esther, are you sure you want to do this? You get your head cut off. If it kills me, I'll die doing right. That was the attitude. That is what you learn from your Bible when you read it. I'm not doing things because it's going to turn out right. I'm obeying God because that's what He told me to do. That should be our attitude. Finally, I'm coming down to the end. So, it doesn't turn out right. We say, I'll do what I think is right. Then we do it. Then it doesn't turn out for the best. Then we get bitter. We go our own way. Sincerely, when it turns out bad, we get bitter. But it was because we did what we wanted to do. And Jesus wasn't leading. And He wasn't the shepherd. We were leading Him. God, now You come over here. Now I want to do this. Now You bless this, what I'm doing right here. Okay, good. Now God, I want to do this too. No, come over here and bless this. I want to do this. Now bless it. I want to marry them. This is what I want. And then it doesn't turn out right. And it ends in divorce. Or it ends in pain. How come You didn't bless me? I go to church. I read my Bible. You didn't bless what I wanted to do. And they get bitter. If I, as a pastor, could say, how do you not get bitter? It would start with the whole process that says, I think I'll do what is right. Or I'll do what I think is right. If I could, as a pastor, get that out of your head. As a Christian, that's the way the world thinks. I want you to say, I want to do what God wants me to do. And He'll show it to me in His Word. If there's any other way, it ends in pain and bitterness. Because the next step after that is we want God to explain His reasoning with us. God's wisdom, we already learned, is above ours. Yet when things aren't turning out right because we've gone our own way, we can't understand it and we feel like God owes us an explanation. How come this didn't work out? How come You didn't bless me? I'm going to church. What more do You want? You'd be shocked at the arrogance I've heard come out of Christians' mouths when things start crumbling. And it's because God said, I didn't have anything. That's everything You wanted to do. Yeah, that's what You wanted. I can't bless that. I created You to do this here. So when it goes bad, then God owes us an explanation. Then, when we don't get that... Okay, let me give you one illustration here. I was talking to a man, and good guy. He visited truckers on Sunday instead of going to church. So he went to the truck stops in the area and would lead men to Christ. He said, well, you got to understand, Pastor. He said, I go to the truck stop. The truckers come in. They can't drive past certain hours in a week. They have to rest their Saturday. They have to rest their Sunday. So I go to the truck stops on Sunday and lead men to the Lord. He said, I get about 3 or 4 people led to the Lord a weekend. I said, I'm glad you do, but you're violating the Word of God. God says, come to church. He said, this is what God wants me to do. He ended up losing his family. And I said, you justify a whole lot. Well, I know I'm doing wrong, but this is the good that's going to come about. Do you see the humanism? Do you see? Well, I know this is wrong. I'm doing wrong here, but this is the good. A Christian cannot do that and it end up well. And that's what scares me. It ends in tragedy. Sin brings death. That is a Bible law. You cannot get away from that. Be careful. So, we feel God owes us an explanation. Then we get more bitter. We start asking why. One of the things that amazes me about the life of David is before he did anything, what made him a man after God's own heart was before he'd go to battle, God, is this a fight You want me in? And he'd come to the next fight. God, do You want me to fight them? Yes, I'll deliver them into Your hands. Thank you. He'd win. God, this is another fight. Do you want me to do this? That's what made him a man after God's own heart. That's what made him a wonderful Christian. God was the focal point. He was the hub, and the spokes went out from, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. That was the middle. Every time he went out, he came back to the middle. Every time he'd go on a venture, he'd come back. God, what do you want me to do? God says, go this way. And then he'd come back. God, what do you want me to do? And God was the center. God wasn't a spoke. God wasn't a spoke. Then we get more bitter. Then we do what we think seems right because we don't live in the Bible and we don't know God enough to know what is right. So we're left to our own way because we won't learn what the Scripture says. The devil knows the quickest way to destroy us is to get us to do what we think is right rather than what the Bible teaches is right. Let me go back to my five statements. I don't live by my own standards. I try not to do what I think is best. I often go against my better judgment. I often disagree with God. And many times, I've disagreed with God more than I've agreed. But the reason I came out okay is because I obeyed, even when I disagreed. Let's pray. Father, please help us, Lord. I pray this morning, please help us to see the devil's deception. Help us to see the lie.